once more under the breach, dear friend.
Yeah, let's close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exception of the lone... No.
Exception?
Another exception of the lone... A ranger.
Yes, we're not the Lone Ranger, so this is an exception.
This is the... In fact, it is actually the personal wealth coach instead of the Lone Ranger.
Right. Who was that masked man?
Yes, that was actually Lyndon Johnson, who was the Lone Ranger in Pogo, the comic strip, which dates me horribly. But we don't have the Lone Ranger today. Instead, we have James Harrison on the air from the Bell County Expo Center. Go ahead, James.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good to be back with you for another hour.
And you're back with the personal wealth coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And we are live. Presuming that this is February 21st
of the year 2015.
I mean, if you're listening to this on some date in the future, we're speaking into the future, and at that moment, we may or may not be alive.
Well, if we say that to them, it isn't the future when they're listening. It'll be the present.
But it's the future to us, and it's kind of like the speed of light.
That's just relative stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, to them, it's the future, or to us, it's the present. It's very relative.
So we're talking about, at the end of the last hour, in case you didn't follow that, a quick summation. Greece is a problem in the Eurozone. Russia is a problem in Europe. And these problems will, in my opinion, this is Jeff, not be resolved given the current structure in Europe.
Correct. The danger there is that Lithuania is bordering Russia and that Hungary is bordering Ukraine. Baltic states are in trouble right now. And we have an obligation to defend several of them.
And what can we do about it? Again, I want to be. This is absolutely non-political. This is geophysical, geopolitical, if you will. If we proceed to sequester, or we proceed to cut the budgets further at the end of this fiscal year, which is what is on the slate right now, and which is what a lot of the conservatives in the House of Representatives want to do, we will send a signal to Russia that we are clearly unwilling to defend Europe, because we are not... They're building their armed forces up, and they're building it up in an offensive manner, very much like the Germans did, the Nazis did, prior to World War I and II. The response in both cases from the West was to cut spending because of fiscal constraints and a desire not to raise taxes and all the things we're facing today we faced back then. Very frankly, I don't like paying taxes. I don't like the amount of taxes I pay. I pay a lot of taxes. But if I have the choice between having a little raise in taxes, a several percent raise in my taxes, or cutting our defense spending to the point where we wind up with a war, and with each successive war we kill millions of people in these major wars, many of whom are Americans, I would rather keep the spending up and avoid debt by paying for it. We still have huge deficits each year. And even though they're shrinking pretty dramatically, they're down to the point now where about where they were under the Reagan administration. But we've got a big debt load that needs to be paid off over time. And unless we're willing to see dramatic cuts in government, which, by the way, I frankly don't see anything left in government that needs to be cut. And I know there are people who would disagree with me on that, and I don't know where it is. If you go into a Social Security office, you will discover that they're short-staffed, and so people who are going to draw Social Security can't get it. Which, by the way, I know I'm monologuing here. There is a crisis coming down the road.
There's more than one.
I mean, a big one for the United States.
Yeah.
The Obama administration is punting. Whoever the next president is, that president and that Congress, presuming the president stays for 8 years, will face a pension crisis at least as big as the one that took General Motors under. Social Security, military retirement, civil service retirement, Medicare and Medicaid are all on a fast-track collision course with a brick wall. And we can deal, the later we wait to deal with it, the more expensive it gets.
Yeah.
And there is this powerful, let's just cut taxes and cut spending.
There was a time, not that long ago, in my opinion anyway, although to some people it was a long time ago, when George W. Bush worked on privatizing a small percentage of Social Security.
Right.
He said, let's take a small percentage of this and allow people to invest it themselves. Let's just give it straight to them. We can't do that today.
Mm.
It is not possible to do that today, even if we had the ability in Congress to get that passed. Because at this point, we're spending all the money that we take in for Social Security. For a very long time, we were taking in a whole lot more money in Social Security than we were spending.
We actually crossed the line, I think, in 2014 to where the government is having to pay in more money.
Yeah.
Then it received. It used to take, what happened is the government would take in the excess money from Social Security and they'd spend it on other things.
Right, and this is, the Tea Party started because of this concept right here. Not what it's become, but the Tea Party started by having a day every year, the day that our tax freedom day, go in and talk to your employees about what taxes are being paid by your employee and what taxes are being paid by the employer for the employee. And there's a 15.3% tax that most employees don't even know about. They think it's 7.1 or something, or
7.6,
7.65, something like that. And they see that. Well, there's another one on top of that that's the same amount that's done by the employee or the employer that amounts to a 15.3% tax before the income tax kicks in. And that's for Social Security and Medicare, and they're called the payroll taxes. That money was way more than what the country was spending on Social Security and Medicare for many, many, many decades. It has now gotten to a point where that money is not enough to pay for all of the retirees, so we're having to take it further from the general revenue. Now, there was a problem in that they took that Social Security money and they put it in the general revenue fund before. They weren't treating it any differently. They weren't saying we need to somehow pay this forward. It's really hard for Congress to pay forward because they don't have a specific place they can put it. They put it in U.S. Treasuries, which is an IOU to ourselves. And where we are now is we can't take excess money coming in from Social Security and give some of it back to people to privately invest for their own retirement.
Because there isn't any excess money.
There's no excess money anymore. We need to make some decisions, and they're not going to be easy decisions soon, or the not easy decisions become really, really difficult decisions until they become so astronomically hard that we do what Greece does. And that's a long ways off. We're not Greece.
Well,
but the sooner we deal with it, the better.
We have a strong enough economy and a stable enough government. We'll never become Greece, barring some radical change in our governmental system.
And the language. We would have to change our language. We would have to move geographically
right.
to become Greece as well. That would be difficult as well.
But we do have the capability of looking down the road, looking into the future, and seeing that certain things financially are not going to work. For example, if you and your family are spending money and you have a standard of living and you have a level of income, and you notice that your credit card debts get a little bigger each year, and your debt load gets a little bigger each year, and you can come to the conclusion that there's something wrong. Now, if you look around at your spending and you realize we got to put our kids through college, we got to pay the bills, it really won't work for us to cut spending. What's happened in the United States when we've seen that? We want a higher standard of living, and over the last generation, the vast majority of homes now have two earners in the homes. Well, what we did, we raised revenues. And we found a way to raise revenues without doing undue damage to the home or the family or anything else. And it really comes down to the point, we're at an interesting point in our history right now. We can cut what the government is spending, in which case, when people have said cut government spending, and I say, what do you want to cut? And they said waste and fraud. Well, I'm sorry, we've been cutting waste and fraud for 30 years.
There's still some, but it's really, you and really it, have to dig
yeah,
for it
and,
now.
And even if you cut all, if you take the General Accounting Office and you say all the waste and fraud that's out there that they can estimate, and you take a look at it, it'd be a drop in the bucket. And they say, well, let's cut 4 and 8. Okay, well, we can cut 4 and 8.
That's, again, a drop in the bucket. It's a very small amount of money.
It just won't make any significant difference, not to mention the fact that if, for instance, we cut 4 and 8 to Ukraine and Egypt and some places like that, we'd be blowing our feet off.
And then we've got something that has recently happened that is causing it very difficult to be an American overseas, and that is Congress decided that there was waste and fraud going on and that American taxpayers were going overseas to avoid paying taxes. So they passed a law that said that any bank that has an American citizen as a customer must fill out lots of forms to certify that all the data on the American citizen is being supplied to the United States and that they're not evading their taxes. But the onus is on the bank, and if they have an American citizen as a customer and they don't supply the forms, even if they're assured somehow that the American citizen is paying their taxes, there is a large fine that's levied against the bank by the United States government. And what that has done, it seems like a pretty cool idea. Okay, we'll stop those big fat cats from going overseas and putting their money in Swiss banks and so on. And some of that was happening. But what it's done for the vast majority of people that live overseas that are Americans is it's made it nearly impossible to put their money in a bank because the banks are refusing American citizens. We really need to think out the consequences of what we do before we do it. And that's a big one. That's a really big one. The fact that Americans have to pay taxes on money that they make overseas is very different from the way the rest of the world charges taxes. Germany doesn't do that. Britain doesn't do that. Basically, you said there's a crisis coming, and one of the pieces of that crisis is the abnormal tax code that we have. It costs so much money to do your taxes if you have a business that it becomes very, very difficult to move forward. And we have a call coming in from James Harrison.
We do. And James, you are on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead. Hello, James.
Oh, this is James Harrison, guys. I'm just calling in to do my little break here.
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And your timing was off just a little bit there.
Yes.
It's probably several nanoseconds or something.
It's very difficult.
And we are still here, and the telephone numbers are still 773-1400 and
1-866-597-1400.
And I think we addressed the issue of money market funds. They are going to float, I think. I mean, that's not a done deal yet because the money market funds don't want to float. They want to hold it at the dollar, and they want to hold it at the dollar so people will trust them, and despite the fact that they can break the dollar, and there's no law against it, but it's a case where, across the board, what federal agencies, the FDIC, but more the Fed, the Federal Reserve, is going in and trying to tighten the systems up in the United States, where the government doesn't have to step in and rescue private organizations to keep the entire system from failing. Now, there's an interesting result.
Why would they want to keep the government from jumping in and
they
rocking
just,
the boat?
They
I don't
basically
know what the problem
said. by the way, the term is in economics is called moral hazard.
Yes.
Where a company, a large corporation, takes undue risk because they know they'll be bailed out by the federal government if it fails.
What's the risk to us? Yeah. We don't have a... And if you look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, somewhere in there they thought the government's never going to let us fail. Now, what happened was actually if you were a shareholder, you lost your money.
Or a bondholder.
Yeah.
And by the way, they are right on the verge of needing another bailout at this point. We were going to get rid of them, remember that?
Right. Oh, yeah. That's,
and we've discovered, by the way, the system, the housing... We were hoping to get a housing recovery, by the way, by 2016. There's a great deal of belief it's going to happen because we're simply not building houses fast enough to accommodate new families being formed. But the debt load and the restrictions and everything else, sooner or later we're going to get a surge in demand from new families that would like to own a house and can afford to own a house.
Right. Now they're saving for it now.
What will happen probably is this is probably going to hit around again, around 2016 sometime, which is going to make the Republicans very upset.
Yeah.
Because a surging economy towards the end of a Democratic presidential tenure means that there's a very high probability that the next president will be a Democrat. Now,
it's
you may
silliness.
Like it. So you're in a position where if you really want a Republican president, you want a cratering economy.
And that's not good
in
either.
2016, which...
No, Republicans don't want that either.
But they can accomplish it.
Oh, yeah.
All they have to do is go for sequestration, in which case they'll lose big time because they'll get the blame for it. But let's just hope that people have more sense than that.
They don't. Most of America does not have a whole lot of sense. And I say that with a great deal of confidence in that. The fact that we're having to explain this many years later that the president of the United States really doesn't have a lot of control of the economy, that whether or not...
Still gets the credit.
He gets the credit. George H.W. Bush lost the presidency because of the economy. It wasn't his fault. Clinton ran on, it's the economy, stupid, and did great, even though what he did with the economy was nothing. I mean, NAFTA was great, but that was really a Republican thing that he signed. You just keep going along with these things that...
We operate by mythology.
There's a mythology that whoever's the president controls the economy and
yeah.
It is stupid.
But we believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are facing some crises going forward. There are some smart ways to deal with it now. Odds are we won't. Odds are we'll do the opposite of what we should do. And we'll cut defense and we'll cut taxes and we'll cut spending. And then we will suddenly realize that we don't have enough money. And we'll have a crisis, and we'll turn around and go completely in the other direction and do what we did. We've always done this in the past, by the way.
Yeah,
we cut spending. Republicans, and this is an ancient
history. You could be talking about any point in our history as a country.
Yeah,
at any point.
100 years ago, Republicans were busy cutting taxes.
Yeah.
And we were facing deflation when they were terrified of inflation.
And then in the 70s, when they were terrified of deflation, they were busy raising taxes and overspending, which caused runaway inflation. We just had these cycles. That was the Democrats doing it.
But
so
it was
a bit back and forth.
But it's what Pogo, a possum, and for those of you who don't know Pogo, really sorry. It was one of the greatest so-called comic strips in the history of the world.
You are really old.
Deeply philosophical comments by an opossum that lived in the Okefenokee Swamp, who could say things that regular human beings couldn't say because they were politically unacceptable.
Well, opossums don't have politics to worry about.
Right, and he was discussing it with an alligator anyway. But among other things, during that period of time, there was a pig in the comic strip that looked amazingly like, and his name was Mousy Tongue, that looked amazingly like the premier of communist China. And during that period of time, we didn't have relations with communist China, but communist China officially issued a complaint through the United Nations or someplace.
About Mousy Tongue?
About this.
It sounds a little bit
about
like
the pig.
Mousy Tongue.
Yeah, well.
But Mousy Tongue is obviously a pig.
Yeah,
that's
obviously
not a
this
Chinese
pig.
Guy.
And and I can't remember right now who the author of this cartoon was, and it's unfortunate because he's a great guy. But he did write an apology. He said he wrote to Communist China. He wrote an official release, press release, published it in the paper, that he had the most sincere regrets and most sincerely apologized for the fact that their premier looked like his pig. Needless to say, they weren't very happy with that. But
Walt Kelly.
Pogo Opossum made one of the greatest quotes in the history of the world. We have met the enemy and he is us. So absolutely true.
It's still true.
And he was in this boat, this little flat-bottom boat being pulled through the Okefenokee Swamp at the time. His mines were exploding around him. And he was being pulled by an alligator, which you just can't appreciate how right that was. But that is the truth. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And we, frankly, as a nation, have a series of things we do for our citizens and to protect ourselves from hostile forces in the world that cost a certain amount of money. We choose and have continued to choose to not pay for that, but rather to borrow the money to do it. The one solution, obviously, is to cut taxes and borrow more money. No, I mean, we say cut taxes and cut spending, but in fact, the issue is we don't cut the spending. The spending rises, and we simply need to come to our senses on this and stop living in a fantasy world. Not that I think we will. What is the thing I recommend to people at this point? We recommend to people at this point. It's very simply, if you think that all your government benefits will pay for everything for as long as you live, you're probably in error unless you want to live at the poverty zone. If you're not investing on your own and investing very carefully and very conservative, not very conservatively, but in a balanced fashion that makes sense, you are going to be rather unhappy at some point down the road. We see people do that all the time. If you don't believe it, go in the vicinity of Sun City and see the people who are packing groceries in sacks, who thought they had enough money in their CDs to last forever because they assumed their CDs would pay 6 to 10% forever. And now that their CDs are paying 0%, they're loading money into people's groceries. Not loading money.
Mm-hmm. Loading money would be nice.
Groceries into groceries.
I need to shop at the same place as you do. They just put groceries in my bags.
Well, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we do have some more commercials to play. And we've got another episode with James Harrison coming up. So we're going to be out of here for about the next 5 or 6 minutes, and we'll be back on the other side. If you'd like to give us a call, the telephone numbers in here are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
So we'll be back after these very important words from KTEM's sponsors.
For window treatments and blinds that are sure to impress.
Thank you, James. He's out there in the Expo Center at, well, it wasn't the construction building. What is it?
No.
The Exposition Building.
You're right. Well, yeah.
Exposition.
That's not the word you were using before for the rocket ship, but yeah,
well,
I think
it was the assembly building he said initially, but it's actually the exposition
building. Well, there's assembly building attached to the exposition building.
Well, if it's an exposition building, that means it's in a position that it wasn't in before.
No, it's just being exposed.
Well, exposed means posed, but used to be.
Right. It's very exposed.
Oh.
It's an exposed building.
Wow, well,
they have expositions
exposition.
There.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and our inanity is contagious and endemic.
If you say so.
Endemic inanity. Anyway.
I believe in vaccination, so you should vaccinate your child against us.
Yes, and the telephone numbers in here are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Presuming that this is Saturday, February 21st, where you are, like it is where I am. Let's see. Greece gets a reprieve. I did mention that we
talk about that.
We are.